Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone back this evening. If you would be opening your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is where we will begin our lesson this evening. Had a great time at Bible Bowl this evening. It's fun to watch those kids and to see the competitiveness of answering those questions. To see them having a good time. And again, if you have not seen that, I would encourage you to come. Brian does a great job with those kids of getting them in line and keeping their attention to answer those questions. It's a great thing to get to watch. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 both give us a family of a genealogy of David, then Solomon. As we get into chapter 4, we begin to look at a genealogy of Judah. There's one section here, it's two verses long, that stands out. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, notice here in verses 9 and 10, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." Two verses. It's all we know about this man named Jabez. He is not mentioned in the genealogies. Just tells us that he is more honorable than his brothers. Honorable. When we think about this man and the fact that he is honorable, we see in the very next verse why. Now, when we pay attention to his name for just a moment, it means, as mother called his name, Jabez, meaning a couple of different things could be looked at. He's born in pain, caused pain, or he will cause pain. You could think about his mother being the one that has given him this name based on the fact that you have a man that she bore. And so more than likely in birth, he caused her a great deal of pain. But you think about why he was more honorable than his brothers in verse number 10. And tonight, this is what I would like to look at. This prayer is one verse. And this prayer is pretty impactful. When we think about our prayer life and what our prayer life looks like, you know, at times it seemed, and I will speak back to when I was a kid, we had one gentleman in particular that would get up to pray, and we knew when his name was down, if the song leader said stand, we were going to want a stool because he was going to be there a while, it seemed like. And for kids, it could have been 30 seconds. It felt like 30 years, okay? I'm not knocking him. Please don't misunderstand me. But I want you to think about this one verse and this prayer that he prays. The first thing that he prays for is God's provision. Bless me indeed. I'd ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And I think about this when it comes to our prayer life and my own prayer life included. And you think about Hebrews chapter 4, when it comes to prayer, this is one verse that I love to look at and one verse that probably a lot of preachers go to quite a bit of the time. Because of who went to the cross for us, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because if you see there in verse 14, that high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hold fast that confession. It is not merely lip service of saying, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, or I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but rather it is that confession of our life that demonstrates that this is truly where my faith is. that truly my faith is in the Lord, my faith is in His Word, my faith is in following His commandments and doing what He would have me to do. We discussed in our Bible class this morning, John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. When you think about the willingness of Jesus to go to the cross on our behalf, when we truly believe in Him as the Son of God, we are going to demonstrate that in our life. But what we see, we had this question a couple of times in my time downstairs for the Bible Bowl. Jesus being tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Understanding that Jesus was tempted in ways that you and I are tempted in, yet without sin. Therefore, we can come boldly before the throne of God. That we can approach Him in prayer. That we can ask for mercy and grace. And we find those things in time of need. Now, I don't know, because there's no context to tell us the backstory for Jabez and his prayer. But that prayer of making sure that God was with him. Bless me indeed. He's not holding back. He is bold in his request that God would bless him. You notice that provision of God, and we think of all that God provides for us in our lives. Things like our daily bread, as we see in Matthew chapter 6 with the Sermon on the Mount. And we think about the responsibilities that we have, that we go before God and we hallow Him. That we make sure that we come before His throne not scared. Not, hey, if it's maybe something that you might kind of sort of like to do, God, I'd sure appreciate it. Ask. When we think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, what does He tell us to do? Ask, seek, knock. Keep doing those things. Not a one-time action. We should have boldness. This is what Jabez demonstrated in his prayer. Bless me indeed. Does it sound weak? Does it sound like a, hey, if maybe if you'd like to. Oh, bless me indeed. It's the first thing that he prayed for. You go back to 1 Chronicles 4 and I ask you to keep your finger there, because verse 10 is really where we're going to be going back to each time to take a look at these different things that Jabez is going to ask. When we in our life come to God in prayer, what does it look like? We pray for His provision. We thank Him for His provisions and all that He provides for us. Even if it's at mealtime, thank you for this food that we're about to partake of, right? I don't know that, you know, if we're bellying up to the trough, depending on what we're going to have, you know, I prayed one time for a meal and it was pizza. And I prayed that canned answer prayer, right? Allow us to nourish our bodies. And I had a lady walk over to me later and she said, you think that pizza's nourishing? And I kind of looked at her. She said, it's not. It's not. Okay. Point made. Point taken, right? But who's the one that provided those things for us? We think about all that God provides. The next thing that we see here in verse number 10 is that Jabez prays for God's prosperity in his life. Here, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Perhaps you have a word there, boundaries. Enlarge my territory or borders. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 4. I want you to think of how God blesses and the things that God does. Here in 1 Kings chapter 4, Solomon is becoming king. And he is going to speak to God and tell Him that he needs wisdom. He doesn't need to have all of these physical, material things in his life. What he wants is wisdom to be able to know how to come and go. And here you have 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Here's what God has the ability to do, and God has the ability to give. I thought about this lesson this morning in our Bible class. Josh had asked the question or talked about the fact that God could be limited. And it's by what we do, the things that we do to limit him. Notice what God did for Solomon. He gave him wisdom, exceedingly great understanding. He didn't want anything to get by him. He wanted him to know how to come and go and lead his people. He wanted him to have that proper understanding of his will so that he knew how to lead his people. When you think of all of what Solomon is going to do in leading his people and being that king, God gave him all of these things. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, again, keep your finger there at 1 Chronicles 4. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, this is where we were in our Bible class for a little bit this morning. Verse number 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you see there in verse 20? To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. We have people that ask the ridiculous questions of, could God make a rock so big he couldn't lift it? Have you seen what God can do in your life? Have you been able to see the things that he has done for you? I'll use a small example. I've told you before that we love where we live, and I truly do. I truly do love where I live. Let me tell you about exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. I have prayed like crazy that God would put me, my family, in a place where we will be able to grow spiritually, where we are going to be able to have great brethren, where we're going to be able to have people who will be the most incredible influence in their lives. Let me tell you about exceedingly abundantly. He put us here. Do you understand that? He put us here. That's exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. He put us here. I don't think you understand how incredible you are. I don't think you have a clue. And that's fine with me that you don't. I just want you to know that I'm not clueless. Because I know where we get to be. I know where we get to live. I know what exceedingly abundantly looks like. It looks like this place right here. This is exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. Do you understand that? I want you to think about your life for just a second. What's exceedingly abundantly look like in your life? What's it mean to you? I can tell you what it means to me, because every single one of you can look in the mirror and see the face staring back at you. That is exceedingly abundantly for me. Because that's what God has the ability to do. It's incredible. That's what he's asking for. You understand? That's what Jabez is asking for. It's not all of these physical things that are going to take place for him. He's looking for opportunities to be able to seek God and to help him more. That's why he's more honorable than his brothers. Because this is what he's looking for. This prayer, one verse, amazingly powerful. And what he gets to pray for. And what he asks for. Because here's the thing. we ask for the same type of things in our life. We ask for the same things. We want, as Jordan prayed, opportunities to be able to talk to others about God. We look for opportunities to be able to tell others just how incredible and phenomenal God truly is. I'll tell you my shortcomings too. I don't know that I tell you that often enough. I don't know that I say it often enough. Just how truly incredible you are and how much you have blessed the lives of me and my family. What I need you to understand, what we should all understand, is that when we think about all that God does for us, man, sometimes I'm also the guy that's guilty of not being able to see the forest for the trees because I'm caught up in the poor little me attitudes of things going on. Those times I have to repent and pray and ask God to forgive my short-sightedness. Exceedingly abundantly. That's what God does. That's what He provides. If you go back to 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10, the next thing that he prays for, the third thing that he prays for, is he prayed for God's presence. That you would keep me from evil. You see, that's what he's asking for. He wants to depend on him. That your hand would be with me. There's number three. Your hand would be with me. There's God's presence. Look with me at Joshua chapter 4. Again, keep your finger there at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And go to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. You think about the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, the promised land that they're going to take over. The first thing that they are commanded to do when they get there is to set up these 12 stones. And beginning in verse 20 of Joshua chapter 4, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" Fear there be looked at in a couple of ways. Be scared or show reverence, respect, put God in his proper place. You see, that's what those stones were to be set up to do, to help the children of Israel as the generations following that generation to cross over into the land. As they would look at those stones and ask, "What do those mean?" Let me tell you what those stones mean. God, who took us by the hand and led us out of Egypt, who dried up the Red Sea as we crossed over, did the same thing here to the Jordan. That he dried up the river and allowed us to cross over on dry land. Because that's how powerful he is. That's how mighty he is. That's what his presence looked like for the children of Israel. You understand? That's incredible. That's power. And that's a presence able to be clearly seen, right? When waters part and the land is dry for you to cross over, that's pretty clear, isn't it? You see, that's what Jabez is praying for here. Your presence, your hand be with me. Don't leave me. The same thing that in Joshua chapter 1, God is going to tell Joshua, "As I was with Moses, my servant, so I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you, not forsake you. I will be here. Don't turn from the left or the right. Stay straight to the course. I'm not going anywhere." You see, that's his presence. And it's still true today. His presence in our lives. If you look with me at John chapter 10, we see what this looks like in our life today. John chapter 10, we think about His presence and how powerful He is in our life and what He means to us in our life every single day. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 27, Jesus here speaking says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand." That's what His presence looks like. They know Me, they follow Me, and I keep them right here. No one's getting them away from Me. I give them eternal life. No one is able to take that away. Now, we can choose to walk away, but you're not getting ripped out of His hand. You can walk away from it, but no one's going to snatch you out. That's power. That's His power. And that's what it is to be His, in His presence at all times. That's what we look forward to, right? It's what we want. It's what we desire. And John paints this beautiful picture of heaven as he's closing out Revelation there in chapters 20 and 21. And you think about those who are able to be in the presence of God. There's no need for light because He is the light. He's in their presence. We get to see Him face to face for who He is. We need Him to be in our lives here in order for us to be able to be in His presence for all eternity. You go back to 1 Chronicles 4. The final thing that Jabez prays for is God's protection. There he says that You would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Keep me from evil, that I won't cause pain. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31, a few examples that we see in the scriptures of this. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, notice there verse number 20. "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God." These were his reforms. To tear down everything that was ungodly, to get it out. God's hand was upon him. He did that throughout all Judah. He did what was good and right and true before God. In Philippians chapter 4, we think about what we even see today in God being there for us, keeping us, protecting us. Philippians chapter 4, we think about verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God," verse 7, "which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's His protection. That peace of mind, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guards, protects. That's the wall that He puts up for us. That's what His protection in our life looks like. But do you notice our part in verse 6? There's the prayer and supplication that we talk to God. That's my part. That's your part. To talk to Him, pray to Him. That's when we receive these blessings. Being in Christ as a child of His, that He guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what Paul writes here to the church at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you." There's our part, to do the things we've been commanded to do. God is faithful. God is not going to be one who will let us down. He will guard us from the evil one, guard us from Satan. And finally, look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse number 12. "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. You know what he committed? His life. Everything he has committed to God. What did he say? I know whom I believe. I know that everything I have committed is in storage, is safe with him, period. It's guarded in him, will be taken care of in him. You see, I think about these things that we read, these scriptures that we look at, and I think back to the prayer of Jabez. I want you to think about these words. Turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. He's more honorable than his brothers in verse 9. He doesn't want to cause pain, even though it's what his name means. Verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Notice how it ended. So God granted him what he requested. God answered his prayer exactly as he would have him to. You know, the thing is, we ask God for things, we pray to him. God answers every prayer. Sometimes it doesn't end this way, does it? He answers every prayer. Sometimes it's no. With Jabez, because he's honorable, because he sought God, because he asked God for these things, his provision, his prosperity, God's protection, or presence and protection for him, he got everything he asked for. In Acts chapter 4, the church has fallen under tough times. The church is being persecuted. Peter and John have been arrested. When they come out, people have been praying for boldness. And in verse 29, "Now, Lord, look on their threats," this is their prayer, "and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God's powerful. And it's not to water down that phrase at all, but we can never use words to describe how truly awesome he is. And I don't know about you, for me it's easier to talk about this in my life. I talk about how great God is and how awesome he is, and yet my prayer life at times has been neglectful. My prayer life at times has not demonstrated what I truly think of him. And what I tell others about him. I look at two verses of a man that's the only time he's named in Scripture. One was to describe him as more honorable than his brothers. Named Jabez because by his mother because he caused pain. But then we read one verse of a prayer that he prayed. And in that prayer, God answered. And he gave him everything he requested. When you think about that prayer and think about your life, what do you pray for from God? Do you pray for him to be there with you at all times? Do you pray for him to protect you? Do you ask for him to provide those things that you need in your life? Or do we just ask for the things that we really want in our lives to happen and then hope for the best? The way that Jabez requested everything that God would give to him, and the fact that he knew God in all those ways, God answered him. He'll do the same for us today. We'd have that same presence of God in our lives when we live for him, when we pray to him, when we show him how thankful we truly are. Tonight I ask you to think about you for just a moment. What's your prayer life look like? Is it as powerful as the prayer of Jabez? Are these the type of things that we ask in his life? And then do we look for those things in our lives? Do we look to find those things to see just how exceedingly abundantly God blesses us over and over again? Tonight, maybe you're not yet a child of his. Here's what I would tell you. I can't take away your sin, neither can anyone in here. We don't have that power to do it, but God does. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you can become a child of God. You can have faith in him, faith that is solid on a foundation that will never be shaken. To believe in Jesus as the Son of God, be willing to repent of your sins and confess him, to be buried with him in baptism where his blood washes away your sin and you rise to walk in newness of life. Perhaps tonight as a Christian you think about your life and you think about God in it. And perhaps right now he's not, because you're the one who's walked away from him. Tonight I'd ask you to come back. Make things right with him before it's too late. If we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.